When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now as all guests do, brought to you by Aturo, your home, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Wow, there's so much happening. I mean, it's all happening at once, and it's just coming to fruition. It's just a lot of fun. We're seeing a lot of decisiveness from the Bears. They are going out there, and they're going to do stuff, and then they got the building, and they're going to do something. It's a lot happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of football left, right? There's 8 games remaining in the season. They've got a 3-game stretch coming up against NFC North opponents. This is, it's critical. I completely understand how most people have the Bears front and center in the hiring cycle come January. But these coaches, they got a shot to coach for their jobs here. And it would take something dramatic, something unexpected, something I certainly wouldn't predict or forecast for them to get this humming again. But that's the only way they can look at it. That's the only way they can present it to the players with a lot of football left to go. You know, I mean, they're at 4-5 and 3 meaningful games coming up here.
Brad, I want to get your opinion on the Crane's report this morning about the Bears reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium later. But first, interpret yesterday. Why was Matt Eberflus so evasive? Do you really think he hasn't made up his mind yet? And who do you predict will call the plays on Sunday?
Well, I think you're looking at probably Thomas Brown or the field. I think he was pretty clear, without saying it in so many words, that Shane Waldron will not be calling plays, whether that means Waldron remains on staff in some other role or is, got a parting gift and he'll watch the remaining 8 games from wherever. I don't know. You know, I know a lot of folks were up in arms over Eberflus's media appearance yesterday. But he was going to lose the press conference no matter what.
Right.
Like, that wasn't winning the day for Matt Eberflus yesterday. So if you want to pile on the coach, great. It doesn't really matter. Now, here's one consideration, and I don't know if this is happening, and I don't know if this is an explanation for it, but if they were in the process of working through Thomas Brown, maybe they talked to him early in the morning. I don't know. I'm just guessing. And one or two exterior guys, and I don't know what that would look like because you can't really have someone bring in a new playbook in the middle of the season. But if they're talking to people outside the building, that's certainly a process that could have stretched beyond noon yesterday when Eberflus spoke. So the fact that he didn't have some detailed explanation of, okay, here's how the staff's going to look. This is why I did it. We're not scoring enough points. We haven't been effective. and I believe this is going to help just or help Caleb and help our offense. They weren't there yet, so that's a plausible reason for him sounding like he didn't know what the hell they were going to do yesterday. Is it the reason? I don't know, but no matter what he said yesterday, he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, I understand that, Brad. I wonder, was there any element of kind of competitive advantage stuff? Did that play into his mind a little, keep the folks behind the cheddar curtain from realizing that the Bears have their issues?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Brad, you mentioned John Gruden yesterday. Is Frank Reich a name that makes sense? Any other names that you've heard of the various people that you talked to around the league?
Yeah, it's Frank. I mean, Frank Reich's probably still getting paid, right? I mean, he was.
Just thinking of guys who have relationships with Matt Eberflus that fit the criteria you just described.
Yeah, no, Frank Reich's, that's an interesting idea. I mean, they could have Frank and Thomas Brown kind of combine heads like they did in Carolina a year ago and hope that it works out a heck of a lot different. With the quarterback here than the quarterback in Carolina, Bryce Young. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've kind of avoided trying to brainstorm out-of-work offensive coaches because...
No, you haven't.
You gave us John Gruden yesterday.
Gruden, and you lit the match away.
You said Goodell was on board.
Yeah, I said that, right. Maybe we'll find out later today, or maybe this is something that they carry through Wednesday. Again, I can't imagine. I think he pretty much told you that Waldron's out. And you look at it and say, well, why didn't you do it the week before? Because I thought it would have made a heck of a lot of sense after Arizona. But they weren't too far removed from some solid showings against poor opponents. And they had a struggling opponent coming in. So I think they felt like, you know, we'll get this thing back on track. And, Mike, you just didn't think they were that far off the tracks, right? You didn't think every car in the train was over in the ditch. But that's how it wound up looking. And now you got to look at how they can try to get this going again with the schedule ratcheted up. You know, we talked yesterday, I think I mentioned it, guys, about it was reasonable to expect them to be better than they were a year ago. I don't know where you find the four wins on the schedule here. The schedule, as you guys recall, last season, especially in the second half of that season, was significantly easier than what they're going against now. And that's what really has them backed into a corner besides their poor play. Their poor play is the by far the biggest factor.
What, if anything, do they do well on offense? If they said to you, Brad, you're the new play caller, what would you lean on?
Yeah, I think you've got to. I think you got to try to run the football. And, you know, I was texting with a guy who had been here not long ago and had been here a while, and he was confounded because he said he didn't understand why they were struggling to run the ball this season, because he thinks that he said he thought Chris Morgan had some fantastic concepts in the run game, and the way that he had kind of built the run game there was really good. And this is a guy who's been in multiple offenses, different places around the league. And so, like, that kind of clicked with me. I'm like, okay, you know, why aren't they running the ball with more success? And it's not like they had a great offensive line earlier when Morgan was the line coach here. So it's got to start with that, right? If you want to take heat off the quarterback, you're running the ball. You're taking heat off them because you're running it, and then you're helping set up some of your movement and some of your play action.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Do you think that a new play caller will have any effect on Caleb Williams' success rate or accuracy, or is this all a product of having a bad offensive line unable to create a stable pocket for him to throw down the field?
I would think if they can find someone who can do a better job and can probably get buy-in from the players, right? I don't know how Waldron gets any buy-in from them. Like, he's not dynamic in front of the room. And do you have to be this guy who the players are going to jump out of their chair when the meeting's over and say, I'm ready to run through a wall for this guy? No. But you got to be dynamic in terms of, you know, being able to sell it, right? Like, here's what we're going to do. This is why it's going to work. We're going to attack him in this way. We're going to do A, B, C, and D. Like, he's just not a dynamic guy in that manner, and not everybody is. But if they find a guy who can get buy-in from the players, yeah, I think they've got a chance to for everybody to look better, because there's a lot of football left. But is this a solution? Is this going to solve everything? Boy, I don't know that I'd go there. Like, it's really hard, I think, to change coordinators in midstream and expect that you're going to get something significantly different, something that's different on a consistent basis.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. All right, Brad, you know, put on your decoder, if you will, and help us understand. Matt Eberflus said that the problem with the offense is, and I'm quoting, in-game communication. In terms of that, it's got to be better. The adjustments, the tactical adjustments need to be better with that on all sides. Everything's on the table, and it's important that we look at everything and we take the time to get it done. Any idea what that means? What are the in-game communications that are failing? Is that player to player? Is that coach to player? Is that the head coach understanding what the coordinator is trying to do? Is it the quarterback understanding what the coordinator wants done? What is that?
I think it's probably everything, you know, and Waldron's like you've wondered, would Waldron be better off in the coach's box, right? Like, it's because he's a guy that's on the sideline. So is he struggling to get some of the information that the assistants in the coach's box are providing? Now, some of that, like, someone may be chiming in with intel that they think is really particular to that moment. And for Waldron, he might not be thinking along those lines, right? Like, it might not matter to him, but maybe it is something of like, hey, you got to be aware of this. And there's just so little time, right? That play clock, it seems like there's an eternity at times, but they got to be moving quick. The really good play callers, I think they would tell you that a lot of the time they're almost 2-3 plays ahead of what's actually happening, right? That they're able to think that far ahead in the possession. Now, can you always do that? No, you don't know what situation you're going to be in. But I think it's probably the communication with the coaches, and then the coaches in turn getting that information to the players. It's just that you don't watch them play and see any flow or with any consistency to what they're doing on offense. And, you know, people I spoke to when they hired Waldron were kind of like, oh, really? And that's played out faster than I think anyone would have imagined with this talent group. You know, like, I wasn't trying to be funny yesterday and pointing out that they've, you know, 27 points in the last three games, and you rattling off the quarterbacks that have been in place for the Bears when they've had 27 points or less over a three-game stretch to compare Caleb Williams to those quarterbacks, which was, and we talked about it, Caleb Haney, Jonathan Quinn, and Chad Hutchinson, because the comparison is like their skill position talent right now that's on a different galaxy than what those guys had to work with, and it's just it's a non-advantage for the Bears, and that's indictable, and they're going to have to explain it, and they're going to have to try to fix it with 8 games to go.
All right, Brad, I want to get your reaction to what Cranes is reporting this morning. Cranes is reporting that the Bears are reconsidering the Michael Reese site for a new stadium, 49 acres south of McCormick Place, because of the way the thing stalled in Springfield. It's a mixed-use campus at the Michael Reese development, residential buildings, hotel, entertainment options. The financial structure, according to the story, is not known yet, but seemed to be more palatable, perhaps, than the previous one south of Soldier Field would be. This is because Loop Capital CEO Jim Reynolds was said to have played an instrumental role in convincing Kevin Warren and the Bears to take another look. If they do pivot in that direction, Brad, what would be your reaction to that?
Well, they got to pivot to something because what they want to do where Soldier Field is, I think you got two people that have been talking about that, Kevin Warren and that the mayor who seems to be screwing everything up these days. Has the mayor even talked about the stadium project lately? It seems like he's buried by all of his other problems. So they got to pivot to somewhere, and it's clear that they don't seem to have interest in Arlington Heights. I could have sworn, you know, from the get-go that it was a leverage play to get back to Arlington Heights. Right. But, you know, is that a situation where the Arlington Heights project wasn't Kevin's idea, so once he was hired, it wasn't a good idea for the Bears? I don't know. Is this new piece of land where this hospital was, is it the second most beautiful piece of land on earth?
That's what I don't think Warren... it's been kissed by God.
Not
but
yet.
I think it's not yet.
No. Until they get funding.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you got to travel. It's great. It's great down where the stadium is right now. But if you think that's the most beautiful piece of land in the world, like, you got to get out a little bit more.
Well, I think what's interesting about this, Brad, is that obviously the museum campus thing is not flying in Springfield. But now you've got people here in Chicago and real estate investors. So you're talking about building a stadium that would include like restaurants, bar,
right,
things that will keep people down there. Maybe some gambling, right?
Also, you would be avoiding a big fight with Friends of the Parks.
Exactly. And meanwhile,
and you could probably
developers building apartment building. I mean, I'm just saying you could build a whole new community.
And you could probably have some parking there because, like, you saw these renderings of what they wanted to do with Soldier Field, and you kept hearing about green space and park. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't see a parking lot anywhere
down below.
And parking is a massive problem right now with Soldier Field.
Brad's going to get the car right against one of the current columns.
Yeah. So
I don't know. Media parking would be lower level 12.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You'd have, you know, public access. You would think you could get, you know, an L stop nearby. I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot more to it on the surface.
Possibility.
A lot more possibility,
flexibility.
It sounds like something that's more feasible than what they've been aiming for. They're still going to be, you would imagine, asking for an massive amount of public funding, and that's going to be challenging for them. I don't think there's an appetite for that, nor do I think there should be. And that's a hurdle they've got to figure out a way to clear. And as they, you know, when you play really bad football, which they've done on a more regular basis than they probably should over the last decade, that's got to make it more challenging to get the public behind you.
You know, we're pointing out Kansas City won a Super Bowl and couldn't get the public behind them.
Yeah,
they're a dominant
franchise. It's not directly related, but it's indirectly related enough to matter.
Well, I mean, it's the temperature of your organization, right? What's the temperature of your organization? And if you're not able to to win. If you're clumsy, if you can't sustain any success, the temperature ain't going to be too bueno.
Non-bueno, if I hear Brad correctly.
International
you
Brad.
Are, yeah, you, if you say that in German, you could be Sean Hockley.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys, have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man for the Chicago Tribune.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.